flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Are you hungry? Good thing, because it's time for your weekly slice of Tres Leches, served as a podcast, your new favorite auditory treat where the zest of Latino culture meets the effervescence of queer narratives with your hosts, Johnny, Ian, and Juan.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, darlings. This is another episode of Tres Leches.
I know what. I love that you said, darling. I used to work with Darius Anthony Harper, who's one of the most talented people I've ever known. And Darius does this thing where they go, darling, may darling. I help you, darling? Darling. I just think it's the word enchanted way to say that.
So it's so delicious. It's, there's just so many darling. Ways you can give it Mariah Carey. You could, darling. You could, you know, darling.
You could do Darlin. AFAB. Donnie, Donnie, Donnie. Donnie, Donnie, Donnie.
Yes, no, and just, you could see the one.
Speaking of which, I saw Saltburn last night. Ian, you love Rosamund Pike, don't you?
I adore her.
Oh my God, you are going to be so fucking obsessed with her in this movie.
She is he
going to
eat good?
Good. You both are going to love. It's just a delicious treat. Like that's, and that I say it like that, like delicious treat, because that is what it is. Like it is just I had such a good time. But today, this week for Tres Leches, we are diving into the deep end of your spilled milk. It's delicious.
Yes,
it's
a whole thick,
it's creamy. Yeah. And we're
so excited. You know, let me take them.
Go through your prompts, your messages, what you wanted to share and what you wanted to talk about as we get on another train for solicited opinions.
Oh,
truly.
So who wants to start off? We've got some hot topics here.
Well, Juan, it's yours, but you said it earlier. It starts with a J. We should start with that one right out the gate.
Oh, yes. At Jordanks, Jordanks Hoop. I love trying to say people's handles. At Jordank Shoop. That's going to be the closest way.
I think it's Jordan C. Shoop.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
Woo. Okay. I was primed for this because I saw a video of like Ellen and, her wife's name?
Portia.
Portia. And they were doing like an answering questions and they had a moment of like reading the names wrong. And so I'm just like, wait, it's kind of like you have to look at where does it stop and start?
Yeah, you have to go wider. You have to go out first. Okay. And he says, jock straps. Just the topic. Ha ha. Just in general. How do you feel about jock straps, gentlemen?
I really like them. If they're on like a great butt, there's just something about that line, because boys don't really, we're so covered. So they're kind of the sexiest version of underwear boys can really ever have in a very playful way. And the sport aspect of it, like, I like that, but that's like, if we're going white, I like the white one to look kind of like that sporty cup vibe. You know what I'm talking about? That has like the ribbed in the front.
Vintage feel.
Like, yeah. And it's got like the thick.
The thicker band. Yeah. The bike band. Athletic style. I just don't want no colors, please. Okay. Like, I don't want them to have the Andrew Christian, God bless him. He's done more damage to the gay community than a lot of things. Okay.
Wow.
He did more damage to the gay community than Nancy Reagan, in my opinion.
Oh, wow.
But the truth is that like the colors and the textures are just not of God. Keep the jock strap simple. I like them. I don't like to wear them, personalmente. I've got too much booty. There's too much overhang.
So
it doesn't look right.
It cuts in.
Yeah. I think some people like that, but I don't find them that comfortable. I just prefer a thong or a brief.
Yeah.
Or boxer briefs, actually.
Yeah, I like brief for sure. Over jockstraps, but for a moment, a fantasizing moment.
I love to wear them for other people. I like the way other people react to me wearing them.
Sure. Oh, okay.
Woman.
Yeah, I don't like the way... Well, I have a Calvin Klein jockstrap that I like that feels very chic and very like, but sometimes those like the jockstraps, the ones that like, you know, you see in the videos where people are sniffing, those make me feel like I am a little cupcake, like because I've got just the cute little sides just dangling over, you know, and it's like. And I don't think, and that's anyone. I feel like you could be the skinniest of skinny. Well, maybe not the skinniest of skinnies. Like, I don't think Timothée Chalamet is going to have any cupcake overhang, but do you know what I mean by cupcake overhang?
Yeah, okay, I do. Yes. But again, that's also just go up in size.
Yes, exactly. So that it lays flat and not dig in.
Yeah.
Right, right. No, I've done
but
that.
But even if you do go up in size, it can still cut in.
Because sometimes
that's with me. I don't care how big it can go.
When you go up in size and it feels better on the waist, then it's baggy on the ass.
It's too loose. The bottom's trapped.
So I guess pretty much jockstraps are kind of a nuisance.
People love them, though. I think they're cool. I mean, power to you. I prefer you're going to see me, Juan Torres Falcon, in a brief. A boxer brief, which are newer to me. I like them now. Or a thong.
Work.
Yeah. Not like a cotton boxer brief. You're talking like compression short boxer brief type. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a boxer brief. That would be a boxer.
Got it. That, and even if it wasn't, that's what I'm telling you. That's what you should be wearing. No cotton boxer briefs. Unless it's
I see.
Like,
I love
vibe.
A cotton boxer. That's great. Baby, if you got a cotton boxer, come sit next to me. For sure.
All right. Well, this next topic is from... Yeah, thanks, Shoop or Hoop. The next one is topic, fake friends. And this comes from Young Hermoso. Fake friends. Where my real bitches at?
Well, I'll just say, since we're all from Miami, we are all very well versed in the world of fake friends. I have so many fake friends and I love fake friends.
Yeah,
I do. Because, you know... I think when you grow up in Miami, you start to learn that a little bit of fakeness is okay. And as long as it's not malicious, as long as they're not, you know, literally out to get you, as long as they're not doing you dirty, that's another level of fake friend. But I think there's a more playful fake friend, which is someone who you know, who you don't want to get to know that much better, but you have to hang out with them for X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P reasons. Yeah. So you just keep it cute and you keep going and you smile and you laugh and you wave and you put on a big Colgate smile, you put on a Colgate smile and you hit it.
Hit it. My favorite is Kiki Palmer saying when she doesn't like someone, but like doesn't want to like be like, I don't like you. She'll see them at a party and be like, oh, hey, baby, let me get out your way real quick. Like, that is such a like sweet way to say, I do not want to speak to you. I always know who's a fake friend with how they address me. When they're like, hi, Johnny, how are you? I'm like, oh, the name.
Oh,
okay.
My God. That happened to me this weekend.
Did it.
By one of Juan and I's least favorite people in the world. He's actually, we will not name him and we can X this out, but this person is literally known in the community as like a B-I-T-C-H. Oh. And I just like don't understand how we all as a collective like have this opinion of him. And he... still to the heat. One, hasn't changed his tune. And two, every time he greets me, it's hi, Ian. And it's so condescending. Like,
who is it?
I thought you were going to say, but close to
it. No, insufferable in many ways, but
he's nice.
Very sweet in person.
He is
overly, overly nice, which it's like, he doesn't mean bad. He means well. Anyway, we're going to just...
We can bleep that out, right?
Yeah, we're have to. Talk about chem sex. Wait, another question.
I think everyone has an idea of fake friend. Like, what is your idea of a fake friend? Is it like a white lie of a friendship, or is it someone that you, like a frenemy vibe?
Well, there's more than one kind. There's like the bitches out there. There's the benign fake friend, uh-huh. and then there's like stage four, maybe settle your affairs.
Right, right.
You know, a malignant fake friend that is like, you know, really out to get you.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think that we should all also learn how to be better fake friends. We will have easier lives if we are better at being a little bit fake. And that is the great lesson of living in Miami, of growing up, having grown up in Miami. Because you can take that with you. If you can perform. What do you mean
by that? Because it's very hard for me to be fake with people.
But you do it every day in some way, shape, or form. You're being fake with it. Yes, well, in some way.
I think about it like this. Mm-hmm. Being a fake friend is not about lying to someone. Mm-hmm. It's about the path of least resistance.
Oh.
And it's about what can you, like, sure, maybe you, and being a fake friend isn't also about, like, someone who you see all the time. It can be a fake person you're meeting for the first time today. Mm. But, like, performing warmth. performing warmth can be very helpful in your day-to-day life. Oh. And it doesn't cost you much. It really doesn't.
So especially Los if you Angeles need something. Is what you're saying.
But you see, but you're just performing niceness, and then there's performing warmth. It's nuanced. There's shades there.
I stay warm, but so...
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, of course it's very tiring. You don't want to be a fake friend all the time. You don't want to have to do that. But I think that it has a little bit of a overly negative connotation that there's a good way to be a better way to be a fake friend. You know,
I think you need to find a new sense? Term for it. It does. I think the term fake friend is kind of like, misleading. I wish we could change
and friend
it.
Are feel so opposite from each other because the lack of the friendship usually means authenticity, and then fake means fraudulent. So like together it's like, oh, how can you be fraudulent and authentically fraudulent?
But you know, I have had some people who start off as fake friends, and you know, we meet so many people, and we start off in that kind of like cosplay of like, hi, like, you know, oh, I'm just gonna, can I get by you, like, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, always goes up there. Hi.
Yeah. Oh, it's so high. Hi. Hi, how are you?
Like, after a few of those, then like there could be that possible moment where like we're clicking because we don't care enough about each other to change how we're acting in front of each other. At least I don't. And then that actually allows for some space to be yourself. And then all of a sudden, like, you get a glimmer of who they are. They get a glimmer of who you are. And then you have this like weird connect. And now all of a sudden that fake friend is...
your boyfriend.
Someone. Well, yeah.
And then you get married and have children.
And then exactly. Yeah.
That'd be fun. That's a fun story.
That would be fun. So how do you get out of a conversation with someone, a fake friend perhaps, with someone that you just don't want to be talking to? How do you get out of that?
Okay.
Are you going to role play it?
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Okay. Hi, so Ian.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to see you. It's remind me your name. We met last week. I want to remember your name.
Daryl.
Daryl. Oh my god. Yeah,
we've met 5 times. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it was nice to see you. It was really nice to see you. Great party.
Yeah, great party. So great.
Okay. Oh my god. You look great, by the way. I love what you're wearing.
I fucking hate her. Okay. My turn.
I love that you had First an off, out and then you came back in. Is what's funny to me.
Johnny came in like this fake friend was upset. You know what I mean? I thought you were going for more. Hey.
Okay.
Well, I was upset, bitch, when you were like, oh, what was your name again? Bitch, don't act like you don't know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That was a little aggressive.
Yeah, I it was the first thing that popped in my head because I couldn't decide if I was liking you or not.
It's a fake friend.
Yeah.
Okay, Johnny, your turn.
Okay. Hi, Johnny. Oh my God. How's it going? We met last week. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Oh, 1 second. I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the bar and get a drink.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, be right back.
Okay.
That's that.
Ooh, that was express, baby. That was the Concorde. New York to London in under 4 hours.
I just want to say two people that I say I'm going to the bar to get a drink. It's not always because I want to get away from you. It's because I actually want to get a drink. But that's the thing. You'll never know.
That is a technique. You'll It's not the only way to do it, but it's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the way I would do it is just it's kind of a more Miami. It's more Miami. Okay, I'm gonna do it as if I were very much a Real Houses of Miami. Uh-huh. I'm gonna do the extreme version of it, mm-hmm. so that you kind of get more where the source material is from. Okay.
Oh, okay. Juancito, ¿cómo estás?
Hi, Johnny. How are you? You look good. Everything good? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. You'll never believe it. Like all day today, it was just a crazy day. I was so busy. Las uñas, el pelo. I'm tired. I'm so tired. You know, I have to tell you, I saw your kids last week. They're so cute. Oh, yeah, speaking of kids, I have to go find my kids because if not, they're all over, running all over the house. I'll be back.
Wow, that is so accurate. That is so accurate. Like, because it's like it's compliment. Let me get up out your way really quick.
I have to go and talk to Migdalia. Uh-huh. Yeah, but you know, fake friends, let's hope. And you know, you can turn a fake friend, as Ian says, into a real friend. It's just about if you give a fake friend a chance, they can be a real one. As long as they're not, you know, stealing money from you. Mm-hmm. As long as they're not scamming you.
As long as they're not Yolanda Sandovaling you, honey.
That should be the name of the documentary. Friend. Fake friend, the Yolanda Saldiva documentary. Baby, these Latino youths are going to kill that woman. They're going to beat her up. They're going to beat her when she gets out of prison. Oh. There's all these, these gangs of young Latino women that have their stated the bitty purpose bomb is to... their stated purpose is to off...
Take her out.
Yolanda Saldivar. Series finale.
Oh,
okay. This is time for another topic. Okay. What's next?
This is from Ale JG Perez. I'm assuming it's like Alejandro it's Alejandro probably. And it says, why did your previous relationships not work?
Sorry.
Freudian. Who's going to go first? Your latest,
I guess, yeah.
The one that was featured in Fuck, Marry, Kill. That relationship.
Okay. I think we should go in the order of which they were dissolved. From most recent to least recent.
Johnny, you literally look like a demonio right now. Okay. So I go first? Okay, I'll go first. Uh-huh. I will tell you why my ex and I are no longer together. And he may tell you differently, but all I can tell you is what I think. At first, at the very beginning, I very much blamed another person. I blamed that he had kind of left me to go to someone else. And I realized with time that, although that was in part the case, that was largely my ego. Needing a reason outside of me why else would, you know, so you cling to the other woman and you start to blame them and you blame your ex for why did they do this? And I realized that that's part of it. Sure. But Jack just changed his mind. I think he no longer, although we had a very similar value system, ultimately, our constitutions were written differently. And we just didn't have enough day-to-day joy, I think. Because we didn't have that effervescence of like the playfulness anymore toward the end. We had got along great. Which is, I think, why we were able to masquerade in the relationship for a long time. Mm-hmm. We still get along great. We like the same things, but ultimately we didn't like doing things together anymore. Mm. And when my ex went to law school, I think he saw a new version of life. You know, he went to law school in Philadelphia and we stayed together. He saw a new version of what life could be. And, you know, I think the most damning read would be he saw his life of possibility and his magnificent salary and all the things that he would now be able to do and explore on his own without having a ball and chain. That's the most damning read. The most favorable read is he just saw himself as a single guy. Excuse me.
As alive. And I saw him dead.
Exactly. He saw himself as a single guy again. He was able to taste singleness because he was living it. And I think he wanted to continue to do that.
Thanks for sharing that, Juani.
What about you, Ian? Work.
But now I got a great guy. Now I'm dating even someone better. I sound like Teresa Giudice.
Now I'm dating someone even better.
Better.
That was not Teresa. That was definitely someone from New Jersey.
Oh my God. Well, wow. Why didn't it work with me and Chris? Towards our last like few months, we just lost kind of like what Juan said, like the joy I was getting really in my head around trusting whether or not he was like really was on my side and loving me. We had decided to kind of not do as much content together, and then we weren't traveling as much, and we just started kind of really drifting apart. And he said this once, he's like, I just feel like I'm in a relationship with someone who's just my friend without the boyfriend aspect of it. Mm. And that was, I think, a lot because I wasn't loving myself the way he loved me. Like, I think he loved me way more and a lot more easily than I was loving myself. I was just I was childish around not even childish. I just had a really hard time communicating in real time my needs and expressing the joy I felt towards him, and not I wasn't able to let go of my own resentment to myself. So like I would hold on to things or feel bad about not bringing something up, and then that would weigh me down, and then it would kitchen sink on top of that, and it just kind of it got too far for me to feel, and I guess like ego for sure got in the way. I wish I could have just snapped out of it and been able to be like, oh, this is what I need from you. Like, it's just this, I'm scared. I'm just feeling like this is a lot or whatever. And, you know, but then at the same time, there were moments where I felt like maybe we weren't always on the same page. And then that was affecting how I saw our relationship. Cause I was like, wait, I really love you. And I love aspects of what we have with each other. But then there are these moments where it feels like we're not on the same page around the way we want to spend time with each other. Like it felt like some work sometimes, like if it wasn't TikToking or doing what he wanted, you know, I always felt, and this was my own narrative, that like he didn't really like maybe doing what I had to offer. And then I stopped even suggesting like, well, what if we go and do this or go on walks? Cause I started to get in my own head around, thinking it, like second guessing my worth in the relationship. And that I think kind of poisoned us for the last like four or five months. Yeah.
I mean, working together as you were and it was a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I feel as though the question is, why did your previous relationships not work? And I think they did work. Mm-hmm. They did work. I think all three of them worked.
Yeah, they did.
But I think we have to normalize relationships. I think we have to normalize relationships not working after a while. And I think, or the specific relationship not working after a while. And I think that's what happened with me and my ex. is that it no longer worked the way we were working it. So we decided instead of saying this isn't working, we would rework it, rejigger, you know, refinance, rebuild into a different, new, better location. So, you know, we scrapped the old restaurant, we got a new staff, and it's, you know, we have a better relationship now than I think that we had before. And so that's why it's very hard for me to be like, that failed, because it didn't. And I don't think a lot of relationships failed. The only failed relationships I think exist are relationships that are hurtful to both people in them, and hurtful in the sense that, like, demeaning, toxic, bad relationships. But if you're together with someone for 6-7 years and you just change as people, that's very normal. And I think it's a net win for me, because it's, you know, and especially because me and Will acknowledge how we've changed so much and how we've grown in our singledom, and how we're so much more evolved in our own world. So I don't know. I think it didn't work the way it was, but I still think it works. I still think we have a great working relationship, and I don't, you never know what the future holds. You know, not saying like that as like a, maybe we'll get back together. I just mean that as a, you never know. You never know that maybe one day when you're 70 years old and you haven't spoken to Chris, and you see him at a coffee shop and he's alone, and you're like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, my husband died. And you're like, oh, my husband died too. And then all of a sudden you're playing checkers every night, and then you fall in love again. You know, it's just,
yes,
love is a very complex and wonderful and interesting thing. So mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, they didn't work for then, but we're working on new things.
Yes. Yeah. My grandma used to say, I think I may have said this earlier in the podcast, you know, my grandma used to say relationships end up one of two ways. Mm. You break up or you're together forever. It's one of the two, you know, it's just, that's it. Yeah. So it's really, you know, that's what happens. So just because it ended doesn't mean that it was not a success. It might, my relationship did end. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how the prompt makes you just immediately default to like what went wrong, but yeah. Actually, you know, I had 8 great years with my ex.
Yeah.
And I said this before, I'll say this again, everyone deserves a man like my ex. Very few people get them. With all we went through and everything, I would recommend him to anyone. I would, you know, like with flying colors.
Yeah.
The referrals would be good, because he is a great man,
yeah.
A great lover, a great provider. He's just great. Mm-hmm. We just didn't work out anymore. And I don't want it anymore, but I can still acknowledge that it was a great 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, my parents never spoke poorly of each other mm-hmm. after their divorce. And they never did. My mother especially never did. And I'm grateful to her for that. Because it really showed me that, like, you can, it's okay. The chapter ended. Look at what I got. You focused on, she's like, if I ever criticized my dad or anything, she was like, I got you. Look at our life. Mm. You know, all the things that we got out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really easy to look back with a lot of sadness, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If,
you know,
if, it would be funny if you did have to give a referral. Anytime you got in a new relationship, you had to give a referral.
Oh my God.
Like when you start a new job or when you get a new apartment, you have to get 3 referrals from past relationships.
Wow. That's a really interesting thing to think about. Like what would
your referral
look like? Like what would he refer as me? Because I think that's the biggest thing too, is coming out of relationships. You know, we think about the other person a lot, but at least for me, I tend to be a little like it was all me. It was all me. My fault. Even mm-hmm. though, you know, it's not, I didn't break up with him, but like it was this kind of it just happened. But like, and so because I feel like I've been doing 1.5-2 years of penance, if I actually had the opportunity to hear what he has, like it, what his review would be, I bet. Let me speak to myself. If I was talking to a friend, I bet it would be nicer than I think it would. I bet it would be surprising. Yeah, I bet it would be things I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't put into words, because I'm so hyper focused on what I want to fix or what I think hurt him or what I think hurt us, you know? So I actually would like that. That would be a really nice.
He's like, I would like that. Three stars like, for it would probably be very healing. Five stars for
my God, exactly. Damn.
Like a Yelp review.
But, I mean, it's helpful to actually think about that. Cause then you go, well, what did I contribute to this? Like what, you know, to not be like, oh, this is what I want to fix that I did wrong. It's like, okay, but what were the things you were doing right throughout the whole time? And, you know, relationships just are very complex and everyone's doing the best they can. Mm-hmm. So try to remember where you did hold space for the other person and maybe, you know, how good of a listener you were, or, you know, now I'm trying to think it's like a nice way to kind of reframe your own, you know, your own review of yourself, you know?
Okay. I've got a good one. I've got a good one. This is from Taylor from Nashville, Tennessee. I have been dating someone new and really like them, but our political views are completely opposite. Can such a relationship work in the long term?
I think there is so much space for disagreement in relationship with people. But I think where we get this like disconnect is when political also stands for human rights and
correct
racism. Core values. Yeah. It's like politics is like the difference between, you know, should we fund public schools more or less? That's a political disagreement. And one could argue if you like go deeper and deeper, it is a human rights issue as well. But I think, you know, it's hard because everything is so politicized. Everything is politicized. Getting a vaccine for sickness is politicized. So it's very hard to these days, like pull those things apart of like, oh, we can disagree on, you know, the housing crisis or immigration or, you know, and not it be. I think it's about, yeah, I think it's possible. I just think you really have to know where the person's argument is coming from because, and that's why I always love asking questions like, why do you feel that way? Because then you really get to the bone of why it
the
is.
The heart of the matter.
The heart of the matter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
go ahead.
I was just going to say, please. I think that's it, the question kind of has a bit of an answer in it, which is like, they're not talking short term. They're talking like long term really makes me go, okay, like I want more context around it. I think it depends on your relationship. But that's a really interesting thing is like, how did you meet? Here's the thing. My thing is if you're already into each other and there's a relationship starting and then you're finding out as you're getting to know that this person shares different political views than you, then like you either get to choose, oh, this is something I really, this means a lot to me. Like either it's a part of my identity, maybe not so consciously, but like if it just means a lot to you and you're just like, oh, I could never be with someone who, you know, point blank is just on this side because it's so opposite of me, you would know to kind of make the decision is kind of easy to make. But if you're in a place where you're not sure, then that tells me, I'm assuming here, that like you are asking because you are trying to figure it out. So I'm a big believer in like, be as curious as possible, ask the questions, and like maybe don't let this one part of this other person be the reason why you don't maybe, you know, learn or experience more of them. You know what I mean? Like there's a thousand other things they have to offer besides just what they believe politically, but then also in the sharing of you being the change you want to see in the world. Like you could also learn from them something, they might learn from you, and it may not actually be an issue. It could be a thing that brings you closer. Maybe that's too Pollyanna of me. But that I think like at least puts it in this place kind of active and curious, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a nice perspective because my gut tends to lean to no. maybe it's the jaded journalist in me. Mm-hmm. I just know what politics do to a person. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because, you know, in life, all we're doing is like the right in America is like, no labels. Why do we got to label everything? Mm-hmm. And no one is more obsessed with labels than the conservative right. Right. And part of labeling sorting is your political viewpoints. And no one gets along. I can get along with anyone. I really could. That's why I'm not saying that I want to marry them. I mean, I can be fake to them and get along with them and perform niceness and make them think that I'm down with them. Yeah. I can do that with anyone. And so I know what it's like to talk to someone who's on the political, you know, on the political opposite side of the political spectrum. And I can do that. And I am genuinely always interested in what people have to say. Yeah. But one thing is dealing with your partner's crazy uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is dealing with your crazy partner.
Yeah.
I know what politics does, and people cling to these labels, and it's very difficult. If there are some political viewpoints and takes mm-hmm. that are so hard to shed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are just some that are just never going to completely go away. And I, with all the dick out there, Taylor, maybe just try to find someone who's more closely aligned to you.
Yeah.
I agree with Ian. I think that there is, you want to bend and learn and grow. You do. But it's kind of, I'm taking like a little bit of Ian and a little bit of Johnny's here,
mm-hmm.
but there are certain thresholds realities. That this person, and there's certain realities, there's certain thresholds that this person needs to meet. They need to believe that X, whatever it is for you, Taylor, mm-hmm. if it means that abortion should be completely, illegal in all 50 states under every circumstance, and you better find someone who is extremely conservative and agrees with you
mm-hmm.
because you're going to have a not fun, you know, I always say relationships are about the holidays. You're going to have a lot of unfun Thanksgivings and a lot of fun Easter Sundays and a lot of unfun 4th of Julys. If every election season, you and your partner have you're on two sides of this, on two sides of another mountain, and to climb that all the time, I think it's going to get very tiring.
Yeah.
Not to say that you can't, you want to meet with someone and you want to bend to them and you want to grow with someone, but there are certain things where you do have to draw the line, Tay Tay. That was from Taylor Swift, everyone. Thanks for writing in.
Where are we?
I hear that as well.
I'd rather disagree about who is the singing diva of the decade rather than who, if you know, trans people deserve rights. I'm sorry.
Correct.
That's, yes.
Those are different things. Both, you know, listen, my ex, at the very beginning of our time together, my ex didn't like Mariah Carey. And it was red flaggy, but I thought maybe it was a little bit cute. But Mariah Carey is so important to me that like my belief in Mariah Carey is so deep and so tested that like you can't really, I don't fight with people who don't like Mariah Carey. It's not worth it. Like I don't fight with dumb people.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't fight with people who are like, that's a dumb.
It was that he didn't like her.
He just like didn't get it.
Oh,
he thought he shouldn't sing anymore. He just didn't know enough.
Interesting. Okay.
And I was like, I can show him what this is. You know what I mean? That we can grow from. I can fix him. Just like Belle. I'll fix him. Okay.
Finding your place in a gay community without alcohol or sports.
Gay night. Sequence.
Also,
celebrity.
Like, they mean like without sports leagues?
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
Okay.
Because like I think the easy answer to that, and I've definitely doled this out. I actually doled this out recently to someone that Ian and I know. I was like, maybe you just got to join a gay sports league.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you need to do. You need to get moving with the boys. You want to meet boys. You need boys.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in a smaller town, a smaller place, the watering hole for meeting queer people is usually a bar.
Yeah.
That's the number one. And the second place is the easy answer is a dodgeball league mm-hmm. or something like that. And if you're not interested in that, it's tough.
Yeah.
The other easy take that I would suggest, it's low hanging fruit. I'm not reinventing the wheel here, but obviously volunteering can be great. Mm-hmm. So do something active with, you know, your local LGBTQ center or, you know, an AIDS charity, something that has some kind of fun events, mm-hmm. like a race or a big gala fundraiser, that there's activities leading up to it. Do you know what I mean? There's like committees and planning committees so that there's repeat interactions. I've always found that that's the way to get, you know, and that's why, like, when you rehearse a play, you become friends with people because you're with them
all the time,
but then you do social things after
sometimes.
Those would be my suggestions.
I think it's not really just a gay or queer community, like, specific thing, finding it hard to find friends. I feel it's just a human thing. And I feel the more that we are on our devices, the more that we are enveloped in, like, another world that is not the present one, the one that's not, like, that you can't touch, feel, smell, taste. It makes it more difficult to connect with people. And I think, you know, just being in spaces and looking at people in the eye and saying hello is a great start. I know that sounds super simple and silly, but, like, you know, friends are not just like, there are people that will just approach you and be like, hey, but a lot of times you have to put in the work of, like, asking people questions, compliment, like, oh my God, I love your boots. Where'd you get them? You know, when I moved to New York, I was told by a New Yorker, honey, you're going to have to say something or you're going to no one's going to invite you anywhere. And I remember, you know, using that as like a, oh shit. Like, he's like, every time I see you at a party, you're in a corner, like, you know, just looking around. And it was because I was afraid. New Yorkers are fucking scary, especially New York gays, like, not very warm at the front, you know. So it's scary, but I started using this thing where I would, you know, compliment people's something about them. And I still do that. And it's genuine because I do, like, find something on someone that I'm like, I love this sweater. And I love this sweater turns into conversation, turns into maybe not a friendship right then and there, but you see them out, you say, oh, I saw you at the grocery store, you know. I think it's about putting yourself at risk of not finding exactly what you want in the moment, you know, because friendships are not just built like this, you know, they take time and effort, and alcohol definitely helps a lot of people get out of that comfort zone to be like, you know, more. Anyway, I would say sports leagues are really great. A lot of people don't like sports, but I think also queer people should reclaim sports for themselves too. Like, because I grew up not liking it because I was scared of being called the F word or, you know, being singled out. But now as I've gotten older, I think sports are great. I think they're like a game night, like Ian said, like, you just have to try. And also, like, being friends with one person can also mean that you could be opened up to a lot of other different cool people.
I'm gonna jump in on that because I was just thinking about, there are those moments when and I'm sure listeners, you have those friends who it's even more than just they light up when they see you and you light up when you see them, but there's this kind of energy that happens when you're together. When sometimes I'm with Juan, when I'm with Johnny, when I'm with my friend Joey, with my friend Andrew, there's this way that, like, we're so interested in each other that people find us so interesting. Mm-hmm. Sitting at a bar, we're making friends with the bartender quicker than you could ever imagine. And all of a sudden I met Addison at, you know, and she's like, but I go by Addie. And, like, now we've got this shorthand, and there's that energy, that kinetic energy that happens depending on who you're with. And then I end up actually meeting people because people are attracted to our light. And so, like,
warmth.
Our warmth. Exactly. And so, you know, that's just like going out to dinner and all of, going into stores and talking to people and, you know, really having conversation and kind of like leaving your mark with everyone you meet. I think, was it this year, Johnny, that you and I, we were invited to one of Johnny's friends had a birthday celebration, and he did like a game. What was it called? Devin's Games.
Dev Games.
It was like a
Field day.
And yeah. I know it's like in sports world, but it wasn't like a league, but it was this birthday celebration. And we literally could not stop talking about it for a week because we were so like, that was so much fun. And, you know, it brought out like competition. It brought out camaraderie, like teamwork and, you know, your own athleticism. And it made you have to like think and be strategic. And, you know, it wasn't all gays. It was like other girls and other girls, but like, it was like a bunch of us. And it was so amazing and so nice. And so I think I like having friends who do that. I like having friends who, you know, we set up standings on the weekend. I have a Gilded Age group that I watch the Gilded Age with every Sunday at my friend Robin Dan's.
Yeah.
And it is what we look forward to because I don't really have Sunday scaries as much. I mean, now that it's winter and it turns to like, you know, bleak dark at 5 p.m., I'm like, eh. But it's so nice to have this moment where we all connect and we're like watching a show and we eat food and we talk about our week and we just kind of like shoot the shit and it feels so nice, you know, and that's like a version of it. And then we also have like a cooking night that we do, which is like Wednesday, Thursdays, and the game is involved. And sure, there's alcohol, but the evening is not dependent on the alcohol being there. You know, it's just like we're having a glass of wine or whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
that's an interesting point too, is that like you, as you're saying, like obviously making friends is being friendly, right? So to Ian's point, like to when you go out, be warm and approachable, ask people questions, you know, to Johnny, when you have to tend that garden, obviously. And then once you've tended a little bit, you need to start being the juggernaut, the entertainment juggernaut.
Right.
So like you need to plan that non-sports, non-alcohol centered night.
Correct. Like I feel like people should teach the gilded age. I think people should treat like looking for friends the way they treat looking for a partner. You can't just show up to a friend's house and not have anything to bring to the table. And I don't mean like a bottle of wine or, you know, a nosh. I mean a conversation. I mean, if you showed up at a date just sitting there, you would not get asked out again. So I feel, you know, and that does, that's not just New York. I mean, or New York or, some of the great state of Ohio, like it doesn't matter where you are. You have to put yourself out there, and that's easier. That's easier said than done. But guess what? The internet exists for a wonderful way to watch YouTube videos of conversation starters, icebreakers. And I know it sounds corny, but those things do work. If you implement them, they work. And if you want to connect, you will with someone. If you're looking to go and meet gay friends based on attraction to these people, that is always going to lead you astray. Because I know people that are like, you know, I'm attracted to this group. I want to hang out with this group. They're really pretty. They're like, you know, those gays. Like I had a friend when I first moved to New York, he's like, we got to hang out with these people. They're like the fancy gays or like the hot gays or whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, it depends on how you're trying to, if you want these genuine connections, you can have them. If you want surface connections, you can have those too, but they're not really going to be fulfilling. And I feel like a lot of times people are like, it's really hard to find friends. And I'm like, but how are you looking for those friends? And what do you want out of those friends? You have to ask yourself those questions first before you go out into the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yes. And to your point, the fact that, you know, when you are, if you need a way to talk to people, just talk to them about them.
Exactly.
Ask them questions.
Mm. Yeah.
Everyone wants to feel like Lucille Ball. You know what I mean? Make them feel like the biggest star in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And once they'll feel like that, they'll know that you're interested. And once you know something about someone, that's how you build a friendship. You have to know a lot about them. Mm-hmm. Can I just share something really tangential before we move on? The Botox just started working. Oh. Like as we're in this conversation, look at my forehead, okay?
Oh.
There we go.
So are you,
there's still a little bit moving here.
Yeah.
Can you, could you feel it even if you couldn't see it? Like, could you, can you feel when it's working?
Well, you start to feel that it's not moving.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But it just happened. Wow. But what is his name?
I'm happy for you.
Who said his name? Austin?
Hold on. I said his name. Andy Glickman.
Andy Glickman.
Well, Andy, we love you. You'll always be a friend of the pod at the very least.
Yes. Exactly.
You'll start out fake, but you may get
there. Yeah. And you're in our community now, baby.
You are, baby.
Okay.
You're the cinnamon on our tres leches.
I feel like we have room for one more.
Yeah, we do.
Who wants to take it?
Let's see. Hold on. Tiki tiki ta tiki ta tika. I love that one person's topic was me. Talk about me.
Yeah, Elliot. Mm-hmm. Could talk about him.
I don't know who that is. Oh, I mean, we brought this up earlier, but do we as LGBT here? Huh.
We could talk about
interesting.
Tate McRae.
Actually, we could talk about Tate McRae. I don't know much about her, but I was going to go because I am curious, like, what you guys think about this. But we have a question from, okay, this one I might need help with. Mig Monoceros or Mig Monoceros. And he's asked, or they've asked, do we as LGBTQ plus perpetuate the stereotypes that get played up in movies? And I think, I don't know if we like, I don't know if it's this conscious thing. I don't think there's like a decision happening, but we just are who we are. And it's a generalization. I think there are specific people and groups and different kind of, I think it really just depends. It's.
Uh-huh. I
would say that, mm-hmm. I'll say quickly that the issue is really not about being portrayed as a stereotype. The issue is that there are not enough different stereotypes portrayed. Everyone is a stereotype. Julia Roberts is a stereotype of what she's doing, of that white girl thing. That's that. You know, it's a caricature of that.
Yeah.
We just want to be able to, we want the over-the-top Latino femme queen, and we want the vulnerable goth, you know, trans king to also be able to be themselves and be real on screen. That we want a lot of different people instead of just one slice of what people think queer people should and act and talk like to be represented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want more stereotypes.
Yeah, exactly. More shape.
More stereotypes to have more opportunities, right. You know,
more colors.
And I'm using stereotype.
Yeah.
Obviously in a cheeky way.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think I think we don't play up what's in the movies. The movies play up what they see in our world. So like I'll read a lot of times on like breakdowns that I get character. Think Bowen Yang. Think Billy Porter. Think blah, blah, blah. So what happens is you see success. You see a successful gay, which I love. Mm-hmm. And some of these writers who are not queer, I'll just say that, who are not queer, will see what's working out in the world and they'll want to recreate that in their own way. I remember I interviewed for this show on Netflix and they had their categories. They wanted a Jonathan Van Ness. They wanted an Anthony. They wanted when these people produce projects, they see what works and they want to reproduce it in their own way. Now, those people are real people. They exist. Billy Porter is Billy Porter. Bowen Yang is Bowen Yang. Jonathan Van Ness is Jonathan Van Ness. And if we keep creating those same characters, then that creates this idea that we're all the same way and we're not, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like Juan was saying, those are beautiful people. Those are beautiful characters, but it's not that we're perpetuating. It's that the people that are putting these shows and movies out there are perpetuating the same person or the same kind of, you know, And that's the same thing with a lot of marginalized groups. You know, you have, you know, oh, we need our own this, you know, or even when, when they tell Viola Davis, you're the Black Meryl Streep, she's like, no, I'm Viola Davis. Because she is, you know. So I think stereotypes are also like, I love reading, you know, memes that are like non-binary people be like, you know, because also that's really fun because it's new in the sense that like non-binary people are being represented in a new way. So there's an opportunity for a stereotype to exist, you know?
Exactly.
So you're, like you were saying, like more people means more stereotypes means more, you know, you can connect with someone somewhere. So I am really happy that we at least are having that. I could give you three names of three queer people that are very much out, proud, and, you know, doing the damn thing. But yeah, I don't know if we perpetuate. I think they take what they see and they do their thing with it, you know?
Yeah, I hate policing how people behave, you know? Like, they're to this, they're to that. I mean, and that's why that's the only thing they see of us. Like, and when people, it's like when people say, gay men, all they care, all they go on vacation, all they do is drink and take their shirts off. And it's like, okay. Yeah, they do. So that's what they do. Yeah.
So what?
So and
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. But you
your
have to
role
model. You have to. Sorry. You if you have shame around that as a gay man, like if I go out and I'm like on the circuit and I'm doing the things, if I have shame about what I'm doing, hearing someone say all gays do is going to bother me. But if I'm like, this is what I do, this is what I love, like I work really hard to go to these things and do these things, I'm not going to worry about it. But if you have any kind of shame built in around like femininity, presentation, like it's going to affect you in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with, and obviously that criticism of like what I'm saying is from other queer people. Like when a gay cis man is like, oh my God, all they see of us is this, this, and this. And like, well, there are a lot of queer assistants in real life who act like that. That's why there are literally a lot of hairdressers who speak exactly like that. That's why it's a thing. It's like many years, Dane Cook. I mean, who has even said the name Dane Cook in a decade, but Dane Cook, is doing his stand up and he says a joke and someone in the audience goes, ah, that's so true. So true. And he goes, that's why it's funny. Cause it's so true. Right. I mean, you know, that's it. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everyone's trying to be a Johnny Sibley and an Ian Patrick. They're all trying to do it.
Go on, honey. We'll
see. My isms are easy.
Your stereotypes are easy. Is that what you said?
Oh my God. Yes. I want to read a breakdown that says, think Juan Torres Falcon. I want to see what that audition process is going to look like. If someone uses your name to say think this person, I want to see who's on the list of casting choices. All right, and on that note, I think we are out of milk. I think the carton is empty. Dunk, 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 dunk.
Empty, baby. We got to go back.
I hope you
to the store.
I hope you're quenched. You know, I hope we got you.
I hope so.
You got enough milk for the day. thank you guys so much.
Go to our Amazon page. Buy things.
Yeah, buy things. Okay. Buy what we like. Until next time, we love you so much. Please enjoy your week and be kind to people. If not, be fake.
See what it does.
Bye.
Bye.